Everything's moving now, everything's working.
Okay, good.
Good morning all, nice to be back again. Like to speak today about a topic that came up. I actually spoke about this on Shavuos night. It took us a long time on Shavuos night, even though we were supposed to finish at 2:15. I don't stay behind, we kept on arguing about it. Very interesting and important topic. It came up and it started off with the fact that I have a friend of mine that I learned with somebody from our shul, and we were discussing the topic of Einol. And the question came up, so nowadays, pricing models. He's not here at the moment, but is he coming? Where is he? Simcha? You'd ask him the question. He's right there. Okay, we're going to ask him. Yeah. Pardon? So, for example, like, you know, in jewelry,
yes.
A normal markup is probably much more than 20% of Einol.
Yeah.
Yeah, well beyond that.
Yeah.
Right?
Retail.
In retail, it's well beyond that. Yeah?
No.
Nobody's ever said that there's Einol for jewelers. You bought a diamond at whatever it is, you can only sell it for 20% more. Right? Seems to be that that's not the malach. Right, that's why I was asking you, because I know in other things it's not as partial. I wonder if Nachum Dover was here, if we could ask him what the retail would be in. But I think, as far as I remember, the markup in food industry, depending what it is, it's like, you know, if you're getting something, it's about 20 or 30%, right? But you can make a question about a markup in food. You go to a restaurant and you say to yourself, the guy made a burger and he's selling it to you for £15. How much would it cost you to make a burger like that at home? £2? £3? Yeah, if you're really going out of your way. £4, you know, the super burgers. And you're paying 15 quid for it. So it's charging you 3.5-4 times as much as it is.
Yeah.
So you're saying over here, but?
Yeah,
because
he's got overhead.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that, okay? Yeah, Ralph, we're going to have to come back to that. That's going to be part of the discussion, okay? But all these questions of what is considered a fair price and what's not considered a fair price. How do we go about figuring that out? Because people will charge who knows what. Yeah, Menachem Dovid's here now, we can ask him the question. What's the normal markup in the food industry and in a place like Halperin's? It's about 30%?
Yeah.
Something in that region, 30%. Not like what Simba said in jewelry, it was a whole different story, right?
Yeah.
You wish you could charge what Simba said, to charge the extras. And then the question becomes, okay, so you bought something, you get to sell it for much more, so is there a no? In addition to that, this is, Reb Mendel Shaffer writes about this, but we can give it the local thing as well. You were to go into four different shops, you go into Halperin's and Kosher Savers and K Outlet and Haber's and find the same bottle of wine, you'll probably find that there is... Well, sure, Halperin's will be cheapest, that's for sure. No one said it, and that's how it's always going to be. Halperin's are cheapest. And by the way, if Halperin's not the cheapest, go back to rule number one. That's what you have to say. Okay? So, you go into a shop, and you'll find sometimes a variation, quite a variation. You know, you walk into a shop, and you see that the same wine in one shop is £10, another shop is £12, another shop is £15. So there's a huge variation in prices over there. So what is the price? Is somebody here undercharging? Is somebody here overcharging? What are you allowed to charge for this wine? Okay? Another example. You have a shop on the top of the mountain. Or you own a shop in the airport. Now in the airport, water is very expensive. Why? As I. Coke, very expensive. Why? As I. Because they know, they say, when you come into WH Smith, they say, how much is a Coke? And they say to you, £2.50. And you say, that's expensive. And they'll say to you, okay, so go find it somewhere else. Right? Oh, it's still working. Okay, fine. Felt like it was gone.
No.
They just brought down the volume.
Yeah,
make more sense. Okay. So you walk in there. So are they taking, if you're on the top of the mountain and they're charging you £5 for a Coke, is that enough? Do they overcharge you? The Yiddish shop on the top of the mountain, the Coke in the valley costs you £1. You go up to the top of the mountain, it's £5. They charge you £5 as much for being on top of the mountain. So all these questions of Einol come up. And in general, the question of Einol comes up as well. Where do we draw the line nowadays? Because prices are not the same. They're not. And I'm sure if you were to ask Menachem Dovid, for example, he'll tell you that at times, people come to him with better offers. At times, they'll charge you more or less for the same thing. So people say, it doesn't make sense. One time I walk into Halperin, the item is £10. The next day I walk in, it was 12. And 3 days later, I walk in, it was 8. It's not because we one day we woke up and changed the prices every single day. Sometimes the supplier's got a little bit extra, so he wants to sell it for a higher price. He wants to sell it for a lower price. He just wants to flog and get rid of it. But you know, there's market fluctuations. And with the market fluctuations, price is going to fluctuate with that market. You won't have a set price. And in Cain, the question becomes, where nowadays you have such a volatile or fluid market, take it out of my pocket, is that what's banging?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bit annoying that, but okay.
Means you can't move. Okay. But where the market is volatile or fluid, which most markets are, is there then a real price? So maybe there isn't a real price. There's no real price. Why is there no real price?
Everything's varying. There's varying. You get, as you correctly said, you get your discounted, you get this. What is the real price today?
I don't know. So I'm asking you, so if there's no real price, is there no or not today? So because, oh, no, it's based on a price. But if there's no price, then maybe there's no or not. Right?
Isn't supply and demand? That's the rule of business.
The rule of business. Okay, so my question is, if the rule of business... Yeah, that's absolutely the rule of business. That's the rule of business, supply and demand. But the question therefore becomes, supply and demand...
Now the ferries going from Haifa to Cyprus have gone up by 20 times the price.
20 times?
Yeah.
Was it £600? €600 or something like that.
$1,000.
Pardon?
$1,000 to go from Haifa... To
Cyprus. 30 hours on a boat, you had to get shaken up and not like a loaf.
$100, $200.
Really? Yeah. I know I have a son that's stuck in Exeshall now.
Is that a no?
So that's a question. So is that you'll say? That's called, supply and demand.
The risk has gone up 100%. 1,000,000%. The risk has gone up. So that's
okay, so there, that's what someone says. So the risk has gone up. If I have a boat and the boat gets hit, so then that's I'm taking a massive risk in taking that boat. My insurance has gone through the roof, etc., etc. I have to compensate for the risk that I'm taking. I can't charge the same amount. Okay? You're saying supply and demand. Yeah, so the question in supply and demand becomes even deeper. That means to say, if there's supply, where there is a point of supply and demand, does that therefore allow me to charge whatever I want to because of supply and demand? So for example, hand soap in COVID went through the roof, right? You weren't able to get hand soap. You wanted to buy hand soap. I remember we were desperate to get hand soap. In the end, we found on eBay, we found Fairy that was antibacterial. We said, okay, shine, that's what I have to go with, right? And we bought on eBay Fairy antibacterial. And somebody had to like leave it outside the house and ring the bell and run away. It was a whole, managed the beginning of COVID when everybody was still very, very afraid. But hand soap, you wanted to get hand soap, you couldn't get it. And people are charging £5, £6, £8 for hand soap that 2 days ago was 99 pence in the shops.
Masks.
So, pardon?
The masks.
Yeah, people pay fortune on these things. So all these questions are, you see, you'll say supply and demand. But on the other hand, does supply and demand now allow me to rip people off? Is the term say supply and demand allows me to put the price wherever I want to? If there's a tremendous demand, I can put the price up. I am charging 600%. Like Rabbi Nachum David said before, I'm charging now 10 times as much to take the ferry from Haifa to Cyprus.
Everyone put the price up to soap. It's not just one person. Everybody did it. But that's the price.
So is that okay? So maybe you say that becomes the price now. Okay.
There's no
the price.
Okay, anyway. So let's get going. I think that this topic is, it'll take us more than one session to go through it. But I found a very, very interesting topic. We got into lots of discussions and lots of arguments. So we're going to start with the Rosh. And the Rosh says, one second. Let's take a step back. Let's just go through the halachas of Eino first, and then we'll come back to, let's go through the basics of Eino. The basics of Eino is the Torah says, when you sell something, when you buy something, people don't realize Eino is not only on the seller, it's also on the buyer. If you know somebody's got his pricing all wrong, and you're ripping him off by buying something way, way below market value, then you're being ma'ana, the moicher.
Yeah.
Right? It goes in both directions. Al tonu ish azach, if you're not allowed to be on each other. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, pochus mishtus, anything less than a sixth, is considered mechila, yomarchul. Shtus, exactly a sixth, or some say a fifth, depending if you go ba'al al-gav, how to count it, means kona umatzu eino. The halacha is that you koina, the kinyan still goes ahead. But if you make a complaint, you will get the eino back, and you'll get just at the regular price. And the final halacha is more than a shnus is bitul mekach, and both of the people can be mabatul mekach. They can take upon the sin, both the seller and the buyer. And now the Rosh is asking the following question, and this is a very, you know, interesting question to discuss. And the Aruch HaShulchan, which we'll see afterwards, this is all Ma'ar Mekoyim, that Reb Menachem Shafran put out. That Reb Menachem Shafran, one of the biggest Dayanim in Chosh Mishpat in the world, in Eretz Yisrael and in the world, he put out the following Ma'ar Mekoyim. He says, the Rosh asks the following question. When the Gemara says, or when the Torah says, Al Toinu Ishas Ochif, and that up to a sixth is Mechila, more than a sixth is going to be Bitul Mekach, and a sixth exactly, you have to give back the Einoah, but the Mekach still Kayam. What does the Torah intend? Meaning to say, let's give a few examples and then we'll go through it and we'll try to figure out what the Rosh is saying. You have an item, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there are certain items where the price is set by the government. Bread, milk, the government sets the price, everybody has to charge the same price. Even because there are shops that sometimes charge it cheaper, but etzem there's a price. Remember when you went to some of these shops like Zolpo and Yesh or whatever it was, you had 3 bags of milk for 10 shekel when we lived there. That was considered a big deal. But the Maisa, the price of milk, regular milk, 3%, 5% milk I think it was. The full fat milk, full fat is 3%, sorry. 3% is the full fat milk. The halacha, the rule there was, it was 4 shekel and something, that's how much it was. No matter what shop you went to, that was the price of the milk, set by the government. Similarly, they had a price also for bread. It was also between 4 and 5 shekel for if you bought a regular bread. You start wanting to get more artisan bread, you want it spelt, or you want it with this, or granary, whatever, they'll make a price whatever they want to. But the standard bread had a standard price. Okay? So let's make it easy. Let's call it 6 shekels, because it makes it easier to just to work with a sixth. Okay? So let's assume the standard price for bread is 6 shekels. Okay? And that is set by the government. Now, a sixth more would make it 7 shekels. A sixth less would make it 5 shekels. Okay? So, do we say, these are the two starting in the Rosh. Do we say that as soon as I charge you 6 shekel and 10 agorot, I'm already over the Issa of Al Toinu Ishas Ochif? Because the price of this item is 6 shekel. It's a Yodua Dika 6 shekel. It's not like maybe it's 6 shekel. That is the price. Every makol at every shop you go to, 6 shekel for this bread. So that if you're paying 6 shekel and 10 agorot, that is Be'etzem Einoah. As soon as it's a bruta more than the price it's meant to be, that's already Einoah. No, boss. Most items, it's hard to know the exact price. So much so that if you walked into a shop and you walked into 5 shops and say, what is the wholesale price of bread? Right? I don't know that you can give me a wholesale price of bread. You can only tell me the wholesale price of bread as Halperin's pays it. That's the price you can tell me. But you can't tell me what all your competitors are paying for the wholesale price of bread. Imkain, if I ask Menachem Dovid what's the wholesale price of bread, Menachem Dovid says, I don't know. I know what I pay, but I don't know what the wholesale price of bread is. Right? In Cain, because there is no real price, because there's no way of knowing, and for one person to say 6 shekel, and one person to say 6 shekel 20, and the next person to say 6 shekel 50 agorot, because there's so much variation, therefore, the Torah said, it's impossible to say that this is the price. We have to leave room for market fluctuation. That room for market fluctuation, says the Torah, is a sixth up and a sixth down. And therefore, if you were to time, if somebody walked into a shop and said, I bought this bread of 6 shekel 20, yeah? Can you say with guaranteed certainty that this guy overpaid? No. Because you might walk into another shop and they'll tell you, this is the price of a bread. You might walk into another shop, they'll tell you, 6 shekel 20 is cheap, we sell it for 6.50, right? So therefore, it's not shaykh to count Einoah. So the Torah says, there has to be a bit of a spread. The bid-ask spread. But between, after once you go past the one direction or the other direction, we say, that's beyond the spread that the Torah sees as reasonable within business. Okay? And therefore, says the Rosh, tzad number one, if there is an item that has an exact price, like bread in Eretz Yisrael, Really, I know is how much? A pruta more than 6 shekels. Because the Torah says, Al Tanya Shazachif. And this is Oino, because the price is 6 shekels. So if the price is 6 shekels, why are you charging me 6 shekels and 10 agarot? So you say, no, but it's less than the 7 shekels, which is the 1/6. To which says the Rosh, that 1/6 was only said in an instance where there is no exact price. So since there's no exact price, says the Rosh, the Torah gave you a bit of a margin. It doesn't make sense, because if you're going to walk over to somebody on another item that's also 6 shekels, call it a Coke, right? You walk over to somebody and say, how much is Coke? So you go to 6 different shops, you get 6 different prices. And therefore, you can't say that if I'm charging 6 shekel 50 for a Coke, that I'm overcharging you, because maybe that's the price of my shop. And if I'm charging 5 shekel 50, I'm undercharging, you know, that's the price of my shop, right? That's within the fluctuation of prices. And therefore, says the Torah, that's not called I know, until I either get to 7 shekels or to 5 shekels. But in the middle, I gave you that leeway not to be I know. But where I as the buyer or I as the seller know the exact price of the item and the exact price it's meant to be, like for example in the instance of the bread or in the instance of the milk, and I decide to charge you even 10 agorot more, that is Oino. I'll tell you Isha Zachiv. Because you charge 6 shekel and 10 agarot for an item that costs 6 shekel everywhere. This is the price. For other items, I don't know what's the price. Yeah? But where I know what the price is, where the price is set, I will be over Oino for even a pruta more than that set price. That's one side in the Rosh. And therefore, we'll come out of going the side in the Rosh. Oino is not about charging a sixth more. Oino is about overcharging. Even a tiny amount above what the normal price is. It's just I don't know what the normal price is, so I give you that variation. But where I know what the price is, Oino is Oino, no matter how little you're going to charge. As long as it's more than a pruta, I'll tell you yourself. Isser deraisa. That's what the Rosh says. Or, that's Sarachan in the Rosh. Or, Sarasheni in the Rosh is, that sometimes people pay more for an item. Let's go back to what we said before. In COVID, people paid more for masks and people paid more for hand soap than they do now, right? In COVID, certain things became very, very necessary, and after COVID, they disappeared. I saw somebody that showed me that if you had bought Zoom right at the beginning of the COVID, if you had bought stocks in Zoom, they went from like $50 to $500 in like 6 months. Today, they're back down to $20 or $30 because nobody uses it anymore. Who needs it, right? But at the time when everybody was on Zoom, they went machine. Yeah, it became an item that people want. Sometimes there's an item that people want to just get rid of. You know, I've been into many shops, oftentimes when you have short-dated dairy products, I'm sure you ask Menachem David, short, you don't go down? You don't have short-dated? That's a shop. No?
Oh, you mean
outdated is a different story. Short-dated dairy products I've seen in many shops, they go on to half price. If you have yogurts, you bought a certain amount of yogurts, and now you have one or two trays of yogurts left, and they're running out in 3 days. So I want people to buy them. They want them to go rather than chucking them in the bin. So I've seen in a few shops that they take those yogurts and make them 50%, just get them off the shelf, buy take a gun. I made space in the shelf now for new yogurts, etc., etc. So you say, is that Oino that now I've underpaid 50% on a yogurt? No, he wants to get rid of it in the shop, right? There'll be times I want to pay more for things, there'll be times I want to pay less for things. So that's quite normal for that. And that therefore, he says, Ad shtus, have a bechlal dmei mekach, vein kan shum Oino klal. Up to a sixth is considered normal. Because, like was said before, supply and demand means prices move. Prices move back and forth. Some people are more desperate, either to sell an item or to buy an item. And therefore, you can never say, this is the price. This is the price until you find a guy who's desperate. Then this plus 20% becomes the price. Why? Because he's desperate. So I know I can milk him. Right? Or I'm desperate to sell something. So this is the price, but if I need it off my shelves, I'll give it to you less. If I'm stuck for cash flow, and I'll give it to you less. I want to sell it. Go, go, go. So therefore, says the Rosh Tutzdog, Sound number one is that Onoah is even a tiny amount. It's just that we were mostly because there is fluctuation. But where there, you know for sure that you charge Onoah even a tiny amount is Onoah. Or, says the Rosh, no. There's no such thing as a set price. There's a spread of prices. There's a variation of prices. And therefore, Onoah is anything beyond that variation of prices. At kan the Rosh. Okay, that's the Rosh's that's the Rosh's topic, and the Rosh says at the end, Yirei Shemayim Yotze Yedei Kula. Yirei Shemayim will be Yotze both of these things, and therefore says the Rosh Hashulchan now three things that he learns out. This will be the last thing that we're going to see over here today. These three things we're going to take us to the end of the shir. Midibra Rosh, we learn three things. Number one is that the first tzad that we said was that if something has a set price, it's Onoah immediately if you know above, if you charge above that price. He says that whole reason in the first tzad that we said that maybe sometimes it won't be Onoah is because sometimes there, you know, there'll be different people giving you a different price for an item. And since the different people giving you different prices for an item, therefore that becomes the range. And therefore, because that's the range of prices, so therefore within that range of prices, nothing is called Onoah, because that's within the range of normal pricing. Whereas he says, however, an item where there's no suffix whatsoever, and you know exactly that this item is motzui harbe v'kula merchem v'shoveh, there the halacha would be that there's Onoah immediately when you pay even more than that. So for example, in Eretz Yisrael, if you had a 6 shekel loaf of bread that everybody sells at 6 shekel, and you decide to sell it for 6 shekel and 20 agarot, that will be Onoah. Because you're overcharging, because the price is 6, and everybody knows that the price is 6, and that's the price that it's meant to be, and therefore you're charging 620, that's not okay. Okay, that's the first thing. Number one. Number two.
Everyone's overheads are different.
Pardon?
Everyone's overheads are different. You have someone in the city center,
yeah.
Someone in the outskirts is paying a quarter of the rent.
Okay, in a panami. So, but the point is that in Eretz Yisrael, the loaf of bread has been set at 6 shekel. I don't care what your overheads are.
Working higher margins than him.
Yeah, in a panami. But because bread is set at a certain price, it becomes Onoah to charge more than that. But you're right. In any other item other than, that's why I said bread specifically. Right. Bread in Eretz Yisrael has been set by the government at a certain price. Because the government said at this price, you don't have a choice. It's not that I said to you, Menachem David, depending on how centralized your location is or not centralized, you charge different for the bread. You decide what your margins are going to be. Bread is bread. That's the price. Says if the government set a price, it's a price that everybody has to charge, is 6 shekel. That is the price on bread. If you charge 6 shekel 20, you're charging Onoah.
That fellow charges 6 shekel, he's losing money in it because his overheads are so high.
So then don't sell bread. Do you mean like, you know, you're not a man. I get you, right? You're not a man. But if you were to go to the government in Eretz Yisrael and say, look, my overheads are so high, I can't afford to charge a loaf of bread for 6 shekel, what would they say to you?
Don't sell bread.
Tough luck, don't sell bread. That's the price. Again, it doesn't exist here in this country.
Even if you tell people, if they know about it, the price.
Pardon?
If you make dear people that my price is higher than everybody else.
So that, it's interesting, because it's also, it seems that the idea behind it is the fact that you're fooling the moichah, or you're fooling the lekeach. Lekeach doesn't realize, and you're taking advantage of him. The idea of Onoah is taking advantage of somebody.
Yeah.
Where I know that I'm overpaying, right? Am I under any illusions that a coke costs £5 on top of the mountain? I know the coke costs the same on top. Some people says no, because the driver who has to drive it to the top of the mountain charges more for the delivery. Okay, maybe he'll charge more for the delivery. I don't know if it's true or not, but even if he did, it's not going to be 5 times. It's not 5 times the amount. So you know that when you're buying the coke on the top of the mountain that you're getting ripped off. You know that when you're buying the coke on Ryanair flight or Jet2 or EasyJet, whatever it is, that they're charging you an extortionate amount for that coke that you're buying, right? But you know that this is my options. This is what there is. On the plane, you don't have to buy it.
Nobody's forcing
you to buy a Coke on the plane. You don't want a Coke on the plane. Don't buy a Coke on the plane. Nobody forced you. If you want a Coke on the plane, that's the price.
Yeah.
Yeah? And there's no, because you know, this is, and others would say, that is, someone even timed it, that is the price on a plane. If somebody were to sell Coke on a plane for £1, you'd think they're crazy. Right? No, Ryanair would be crazy if they're selling Coke for £1. Everybody would be crazy. What do you mean you can charge £5 and people still pay it? Why would you charge £1? Yeah? So usually, most shops that have any seichel will charge as much as they can get away with as far as the margins are concerned without their customers running away from them. Yeah? Yeah? If you could charge £10 for an item, would you charge £6 just because you felt like it? Yeah? If you know that people come in and they would fly off the shelf at £10, why would you charge £6? Just makes no financial sense. Charge £10. So you might have one or two people that say it's too expensive. But if the Hamoyin Am paid £10 for this, so then the shop will... Pardon?
I was in the restaurant.
Okay. Yeah. But that's what you pay. But in a restaurant, you're paying for the ambiance, right? You're also paying a lot more for the steak. You know that the day before it was an Image Meats, or he went to Chaim Erlanger and he bought that steak at £5 or £8, and he's selling it to you for £25 or £30 for that steak, right? So you know you're getting ripped off on the steak also, and the chips and everything else that he sells over there. But you're buying that because you're buying the restaurant experience. A restaurant experience comes with restaurant prices. That's part of what you're buying. You don't want a restaurant experience. There's a difference. You're going to go, okay, we don't have a fancy restaurant, right? But in London, if you're going to go to Hummus Bar, or if you're going to go to a fancy flesh restaurant, you're going to White House, you'll pay different prices. Because Hummus Bar is like a time you go and you dip your things and you move out. And the other ones, you get served nicely on a plate by a waiter, so they'll charge different prices. It's the same steak. That's what it is. Yeah? So, the first point that we're saying in the Rosh is up here, that where the price is set, where there's a set price, if you charge more than that set price, that's called a no. Right? You'll tell me my overheads don't allow for it. So that already, again, it depends. Nowadays, because we don't have set prices, that's why you're asking that question. Yeah? Because it doesn't make sense to say that. How can I have a set price if you don't know what it's costing me for my rent and for my staff and for my electricity and for my rates, etc., etc.? All that calls achdus. Because I can't just charge the item. If I'm just going to charge the item, I'm going to go bust. If I buy an item and I say, oh, it's bread. Bread I bought for £1, I'm selling for £1.25, 25% margin. So I say, wait a second, did you reckon your rent? Did you reckon your staff? No. Okay, so you go bust. That's what happens. When people don't know their costs, they go bust. That's just standard. And therefore he's saying, but here in this instance, where you have an item that has been priced at a certain price and everybody charges that price, if you charge any more than that price, that's called I know. Okay? That's on that specific item. On all other items, that's not the halacha. We have lots more to say, but we've run out of time. Thank you very much. Mr. Shem will continue whatever the next time is. Rabbi, is anybody saying Rabbanan Kaddish?